Welcome back to the Inside Public Accounting Podcast. I'm Chelsea Summers, Executive Director of Inside Public Accounting. Today, we're digging into something that has come up a lot in conversations with firm leaders, and that's advisory services. It's not just the opportunities that are available, but also a lot of talk about the friction points. At this point, I think most firms aren't struggling with the demand of advisory. Clients are asking for that more insight. They want more guidance and more forward-looking conversations. But what we're seeing in IPA's data and having conversations about is that advisory isn't always scaling the way that the firms are expecting. And one reason that keeps surfacing is something that's a little less technical and a little more human, and that's the confidence. So today we're talking about what's being called the confidence gap inside firms and how it may be one of the biggest barriers to scaling advisory services. Joining me today is Eric Eager, CEO and co-founder of 4 Impact Data. Eric is a CPA, founder, and serial entrepreneur who has spent his career focused on one core issue: how better decisions drive better outcomes in business. At 4 Impact Data, his team is building decision intelligence platform aimed at helping firms move beyond reporting and into scalable, proactive advisory. Eric, welcome to the show. I'm really glad to have you here.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate to get an opportunity to have a conversation.
Yeah. So I want to jump in with something that you've said. Most firms don't have a demand problem when it comes to advisory. They have a confidence problem. What do you mean by that?
Well, here's what it is. We've been tackling this problem of helping firms for the last 4+ years. And here's what it is that when I was a younger staffer, I started my career at Ernst & Young in entrepreneurial services. And how we all learned was that, you did a tax return and you had a senior review it, and then they would correct your mistakes. And then as I got better and faster at it, and it applies in audit and other pieces of the firm. Well, as I got it, I would learn by simply doing it. Because guess what? I walked out, I had my degree. I didn't know anything, as much as I thought I did. And you made it to it was Big 8 at the time. And, but what happened was, is that I had to grow my confidence that I was making, but I had that security blanket. I had that senior manager and eventually partners had to review it. Okay. Well, that's how we've all grown up and how we grew confidence in a subject area. So we've got two things that are happening here. One, we've got about 75% of the partners are at retirement age. So we're about to have this big knowledge gap walk out the door. I mean, this wisdom's going to walk out the door. But here's the thing. The other thing that's hitting us is AI is creating what I call the great promotion. The stuff that I learned by making mistakes and sending me out on an audit and I messed up account or something, we're now getting compressed. What took 6 or 7 years, we literally have to get compressed into months.
Yeah.
And so how do we do this? Well, the confidence gap we're running into is you get seniors. Okay, so let me go back to my junior days. Well, if they put me on a big account, man, I was watching it because I didn't want to get called into the partner's office and go, hey, by the way, you really messed up. The client is mad, blah, blah, blah. You gave them bad advice. Well, I don't want to do that. And oh, by the way, my job has always been, when you're in accounting, guess what? The beauty of accounting was that everything balances. Debits equal credits. Life is good. It's precise. Now we get into this new advisory and it's vague. It's best guess. It's doing what we can. Well, now I've got my junior staffers who they're fully capable, but I don't want to make the bad call, so I don't make the call. Then I've got senior managers and partners and above that have all the knowledge, but everything's better to flow through them because, man, I can't trust that senior, or I can't trust because they didn't grow up the way I did in the 7-8 years of experience. So now you get in this vicious cycle of the world is telling you compliance is the margins are shrinking, it's coming full automation, the AI storm's coming your way. You better start moving to advisory. And we've been talking about it for 10 or 20 years. But what we found is the human element of it, the human change management piece of it is where we're running the problems because I don't want to make a bad call So thus, everything needs to go through the senior partner. But the senior partner is going, well, I can't trust him because if I send it down to them, they won't make the call. We're all caught in this vicious loop. And that's why it's taking, there's more technology we can shake a stick at. It's the human components that people are having trouble with. And, don't give up hope, because there are solutions and there are ways to get us there, and we will get them there.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about leveraging your staff and pushing work down. And what I hear you say is that, you know, in this new environment, that's becoming a problem, and partners are having to do work that is not partner level work. And that is the opposite of a good business practice.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not everybody's fault or anything, because here's the other thing too we're saying is that, guess what? My own sons, I was like going, hey, you know, accounting's a great career. You're launching, every business owner, it's amazing. And they go, Dad, I don't do that. That's boring. And I go, no, it's not boring. It's not boring. And now we have this thing where you have this, what they're calling fat middle, because there's not enough people coming in. The people in mid-level management, they're getting just overloaded. And now we have top heavy where we got partners that are retiring. They've worked hard their whole life. They've got the partner track. You know, they're ready to retire. Well, now all of a sudden we got this squeeze in the middle. And it's just becoming, we have to compress time and increase confidence at the same time.
So you mentioned about how the staff are afraid to make recommendations because they don't want to get called into that partner's office. Do you think that that's a training issue or a cultural issue? Why is that fear there?
I think it's a little bit of combination, and I don't want to just blanket, you know, comment that, because I know a lot of good firms that they're actively putting team members into positions of interacting with clients earlier. I think we're beginning to see a culture shift, because when, you know, 30 years ago when I was starting, man, you never talked directly to the client. Now I think those worlds are changing. That time is changing now, but the challenge we run into, it's still, it's not a lack of, I think it's the skill set's there. I know the staff members, they have it. It's inherently, and they know it, and they can learn quickly. I think just what happens is, it's just we're in such a precise business, and now we're asking it to be vague and approximate and ranges. And we don't want to, we don't want to jeopardize that client.
Yeah.
So I think new firms are putting staff members into more client interfacing roles. But the other thing too, is they go, how am I going to walk into a CEO and tell them they need to do this particular project when I've never done it? You know, I haven't walked through. And so that's the other confidence. How am I going to look at CEO and say, you need to do this when I've never done it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just with a group of partners last week, and we were talking about, you know, adding into partner compensation structures a level of, are you bringing individuals to a client meeting? Do you have managers with you? Are you transferring that knowledge? Like, that has to be something that is baked into the governance in your comp structure, or else the incentives aren't there to do that. But it is very, very important.
Yeah. Well, and I'll add to it, though. And here's the thing. A lot of it, it's not walking in saying, I have all the answers. It's teaching them to ask questions and then listen and take notes.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago, when I was a staffer, I was able to be a part of this program, and where they literally picked us out, staffers, and had us calling on the CEOs of Texas Instruments and ExxonMobil to set appointments. And they were in, like, I didn't, you know, just out of UNT. And they taught us that here's what it is that with the reputation of the firms, they have great reputations, every one of them does, that if you simply just ask questions and listen and then document and just go, and the things that you don't know, you just go, that's a very good point. Let me get back to you. Now, while that seems like, Eric, that's just completely obvious, having the confidence of your team and teaching them to just go ask questions, sit alongside that client, and then come back and do your homework, that goes a long ways to start raising that confidence level And then you can teach your staffers and team members all going along. I've had a chance to meet and work with some of the largest managing partners in the profession. And some of them told me, like one of them told me, they make sure their entire firm, top to bottom, they'll ask a client, how do you make money? And while it seems ridiculously simple, those simple questions grow confidence in the CEO or the teams you're trying to advise. And also, it doesn't lend yourself to getting stuck in a corner on a specific topic. You can just ask questions and listen.
Yeah. And as a client, having your accounting firm come to you and just ask you questions and be curious about your business, I mean, that deepens that client relationship and makes it more sticky. And, you know, there may be cross-selling opportunities, and it just opens a whole bunch of doors for that client.
Oh, my gosh. At half the time, you're right. We have got to get out of this historian mindset, because CEOs I know go, I love my CPAs and I'm begging them to give me advice and give me some future looking guidance, but I can't have them come tell me what happened 6 months ago. World's moving too fast. And if they just simply came and asked me those questions, like, and not in a what's keeping you up night, keep you up at night kind of questions, it's more those questions of, if you asked a CEO of a business and said, what's your purpose of the business? Why did you start it? And what do you want to do with it? Most of them will be scratching their head.
Yeah. So what are some other examples of questions? If it's not what keeps you up at night, which is what we always hear, like ask that to your clients. Like, what are other good examples of questions to ask clients?
A lot of it's going to be, one question is, first and foremost, what's your goal for the business? Because a lot of times everything, you can't help somebody. It's kind of like you put somebody in a car and they go, well, I don't know where I want to go, but I'm just driving down the road. If you simply go ask, and I know that seems very simple, but if think about today, if you had 1,000 clients and if you could open up and look of your 1,000 clients, this one wants to pass it on to their kids. This one's looking to get an exit. This one wants to make it a family-owned business and it's okay with, stability. If you knew that information, imagine the help you could provide them and guide them into those things. Mm-hmm. So the number one question in any advisory is simply, where do you want to take the business? Where do you want to go with the business? And then what'll happen is they'll start a conversation and they'll go, and a lot of them, they'll just go, I don't know. I might make a profit and provide jobs. But what will happen is they'll say, and you'll go, that's a good point. It happens to a lot of our clients. But let me ask you, and then you basically have another question. Would you like, are you looking to pass it on to your kids? Yes or no? Are you eventually, is there a succession? Are you simply just want to get to an exit? You simply want to sell the business at some point, which is always, I'll do that tomorrow conversation. What do you, in today's topics, do you have an AI strategy? Mm-hmm. When you talk to CEOs and they go, I know that jobs are going to get highly more productive. Some jobs, you're going to have to retrain people. Well, younger staffers probably going to be very up to date on that stuff. So those are good, And I can give you a great leader questions. Actually, a good blog to go to, it's a friend of mine, Bob Titti, and his was Great Leaders Ask Questions. And so he's got a whole list of questions, and he always talks about the three best questions to ask is when somebody brings you an idea, his questions have always been, well, what do you think about that? And then he goes, the second best question is, tell me more. Third question is, tell me more. A lot of clients know, they know their business way, they really are in depth with their business. Our job is to help them answer questions that are outside looking in so they can see the forest for the trees.
Yeah,
I love hope that. Those are,
tell me more.
I can provide a dozen other questions, but they seem like no duh questions, but I have worked with some of the most brilliant CEOs of multi-billion dollar companies. And one of my best friends, she grew up on a dairy farm in lower Michigan. And she walks in and has ran billion dollar companies. And she walks into boardrooms and will ask the most basic questions. And she says you'd be shocked at that. When you ask a basic question, people have overcomplicated businesses.
Yeah.
And it's just not that hard. And if you get down to the basics, they'll love you to death because you get back to how do you make money?
Yeah. See the forest for the trees.
See the forest for the trees. And it's not, if you want to make and charge thousands of dollars per hour, make it sound complicated. If you want to just help clients, ask the basic questions. They'll appreciate you for it.
So I want to talk a little bit more about AI. You've made a point that AI can introduce false confidence. There's more answers, but not necessarily better decisions. Unpack that a little bit.
Okay. Well, one of the things that people don't realize, and I think some people are getting symptoms of it. You always hear these hallucinations. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that AI, but the way that these large language models are designed, it's what they call a predictive model. So it's predicting what it wants. It basically is predicting what answer you want to get. And if it doesn't have all the context, a lot of them, the models will just fill in the blank. It will guess. And some are getting better at asking questions, but here's the thing. It operates in a black box. So, how many times you ask a question, and the danger we're running into in the profession is that we put on these AI models in, and staff are starting to use it. Well, first of all, ask the same question, have 10 people ask the same question in Claude or, Copilot, whatever, and see how many you get the exact same answer. And whatever answer you get, what's happening is that the danger we're going to run into is that I would rather have low or no confidence than false confidence. Because now I'm going to walk into a client and say, this is the absolute. Uh-huh. Well, how did you get that answer? Well, I asked AI. Well, guess what? Clients are getting smart too.
Yeah.
And they're asking questions. And so the danger we're running into is it's not that people don't have good intentions. I think I ask everybody that's in the profession, I'll stay in a room and I consistently ask rooms full of accounts and CPAs. And I'll go, why did you go to the profession? And I said, how many of you, like me, I just wanted to help people. I wanted to help business owners. I wanted to help a family business. And 99% of the time, every hand in the room goes up. I wanted to help people. So our heart and desire is to help people. Now we have this amazing tool that can help us. But the danger we're running into is that it can give us inaccurate answers to questions. And it can get us in the danger now of false confidence walking into a room. And there's no audit trail of how was that decision made. So there's, I don't want to be fear-mongering. I'm just saying be a little bit aware of when you move into advisory, this is some of the danger points that you're walking into.
Yeah. And we've seen the headlines already of firms that are getting into trouble trusting what their AI outputs are without validating it. So I think
There's hope. There's hope. There's new solutions coming.
We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store. So how should firms be thinking about AI in the context of advisory and not just let's be more efficient with our technology?
You just have to put it in a point of reference that AI is really good at describing things. So for example, if I know that this client needs a cash management project, AI is really good about describing it. How do I communicate that? It's text-based. The danger we run into is anything that's numeric Or the bigger problem I'm running into is that it will surface so many options. And this is what I'm starting to kind of talk about also. The speed in which businesses now have, you know, you're sitting in with a CEO and you're the advisor sitting down with them. Now what's happening, it wasn't before, like we didn't know like, what could we do. Now it's surfacing 50 things we could do. Now it's what I call we're entering decision fatigue.
Right.
Because it'll surface things and then you do your homework and you present it. Now it's how many decisions and the speed in which I need to make them. Because now I don't think any time in history have we had more transformation happening so fast and the way that you could execute. Because if you start to get the AI agents to start, you start incorporating that, mm-hmm. the speed in which you can execute bad decisions, instead, I hate to say it, but we could be driving at, you know, we're driving down the road and before we're, you know, 10 miles an hour and we could somewhat see the wall ahead of us. Now we make a decision, we can step on the gas and hit the wall 100 miles an hour, not even know it. So, but I don't want to be fear-mongering because it's more like, you know, we've got, there's ways that we can start to learn to adapt and use this, and we'll talk on that a little bit. But it's more important that there is an enormous opportunity for us to do what we've always wanted to do, which was help clients. And yeah. Now with the compliance work, I joined entrepreneurial services and I always want to help clients, but what paid the bills was doing tax returns and audits and these other things. We had to pay the bills, you know, and have salary. Well, now we can do that more efficiently, which is going to free up the time in which we can help clients.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what the hope and the excitement is for forward-looking managing, you know, partners and firms, is that don't be woe is me. I'm trying to say, you should be excited about the impact we're going to have on businesses globally, because the speed of new entrepreneurial ventures spinning up, you're going to have this next generation of entrepreneurs that can spin up a business with 2 or 3 people. But guess where they need help? They're going to need that mentoring, that guidance, because 99% of business owners out there do not have financial literacy. They right. do not understand. And this is where it's so exciting for the profession that we can truly be the guides of helping the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Yeah, be the support for those individuals. So you've talked about the next wave called decision intelligence. So for firms that haven't heard of decision intelligence, what does that mean?
Okay. What it means in simple terms is that it is the next wave. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm just getting over AI. Now I got another term. But think about it like this. This is what, you know, you're going to lean in and pay attention. Because AI is surfacing all these options of what you could do. Decision intelligence is going to tell you what you should do. Decision intelligence is basically, it will tell you, it will prioritize. And here's the other magic. It has an audit trail how the decisions are made. So that you can now... still, and it basically, it complements AI. It's not meant to replace it, but AI is what they call probabilistic. DI, by its term, is deterministic. It will tell you what you should do and give you confidence levels and an audit trail. That's the exciting part, because now I can look back and look at a decision token, and it also gives us the opportunity to train our staff and upskill. We can literally upskill staff because we can show how the systems came around decisions, have a audit trail, how the decision was made. And here's the magic. I've had the honor of serving on a local school board here in the Dallas area for 6 years, and I just got reelected for another 3. And what we found, and I had a chance to sit by and watch educators, the fastest way that kids learn and retain. And I guess, you know, I'm glad everybody's sitting down because I'm going to, you know, it's shocking news, is simulation. The more that I can walk you through simulations, mm-hmm. that's how pilots train that way. Guess how doctors, you know, how do residency programs work? Is that I present my, the patient is showing these signs. here's my diagnosis, and I present it to a senior staff, and the senior staff goes, you got it, you missed this thing, you need to look at this. Now you can begin to run these simulations and deterministic capabilities, and now you can have a staff run through 100 clients and go, this is what I think it is, this is what it is, and you can document it and have that accelerated learning and confidence level all going now in a compressed time frame. But it's the fastest way, because if you think about it, how did you and me all learn? Is I shadowed a staff, I shadowed a senior, they mentored, they coached and everything. But it was simulation of a client. And I won't say simulation, but more, I worked on a client, there was a buffer zone that they would review my work, give me advice. Now the exciting thing is that you can do that before you ever pick up the phone, you ever talk to a client. The systems can surface, these are the where the client's at, these are the decisions that you suggest, and now you can have a staff member review it, make their case for it, and have a senior manager give them commentary at scale. And oh, by the way, the whole system gets smarter. The more the decisions come through, you can document what was working, what has the biggest impact. And that's the amazing thing that's happening. And if you'll start to see I don't want to say bleeding edge, but you're going to start hearing more about it. And I think this is the exciting part, because it fits right into the profession on how we help clients and document and give us confidence that the decisions we make, nothing's going to be 100%. But we can again say the confidence level in this decision is at 80%, 90%. So, and we can really have impacts.
That's going to be helpful for the clients, but it also sounds like a really good training tool for the firms to be able to implement to help those staff to learn quicker. And like you said, simulation is the best way to understand. So it's both a revenue generator on the client side, but it's also a training internal thing. Am I understanding that right? Absolutely.
And guess what? Now when I run into that client that asked that question, I've seen it simulated 50 times. Uh-huh. I still have to teach you soft skills and communication, but now I don't walk into that conference room or that conversation and I don't know, I'm not sure, what if they ask me something? It's easy to say when you're gray haired like me, but go back to when you're 20, 25, 30 and you're having those conversations.
So is this decision intelligence, is this like another iteration of the AI software we currently have, or is this different software, talk logistically, what does that look like inside of a firm?
It's completely different models. Okay, so AI, like I said, it is all text driven and what they say probabilistic. So when it's going through and you don't realize that it's learning and it's going, oh, I'm predicting what the next word you want me to say. Okay, there's that piece of it. Then you have agents, and agents are basically, they're taskmasters. They go and do things, but you have to instruct them what to do. Uh-huh. They don't make decisions. Because you think about it, when you make a decision, it's different. Because you have to weigh, and think about how we all make decisions in our lives. We identify a problem, and we go, what's the short-term effect I can do this? Hey, what are some of the long-term pros and cons I give up? And at what time do I need to do this right now? How fast do I need to make the decision? And I have to weigh all those options to go, what is the best thing for me to do right now? So it is a separate architecture, but it's weighing those types of things to go, let me weigh all these things. And based on all that information, here is the best decision I know about this company, this person, where they're at in their life journey in a business. It will then take that all into consideration and say, based weighing all that short-term, long-term time frame, this is what you should do. So AI is what you could do, and it's probabilistic, but it also operates in a black box because it's constantly systems changing. Uh-huh. Deterministic, you get the same data, you will get the same answer every time, and it's learning what's effective and what's not, but it's a separate system, but it complements, not replacing AI, it's a complement to AI and AI agent. Hope that makes sense, because this is It's complicated, and I've had to try to explain it to some, you know, some pretty advanced people, and you know, we're still trying to, you know, get it simplified.
I mean, I'm understanding on the surface level. This is all new to me, so it's very interesting. So, are there firms that you're working with that are using the decision intelligence softwares?
Yeah, we have some early adopters, and then we've also got what's really exciting, and some of the things that we're starting to unveil is the ability, you know, guess what? You know, we are all struggling with advisory, but here's the thing we struggle with is that what does my client really need? Because they don't, okay, and I got to a transaction in my last tech company. I took a year off to study, why are businesses failing? Mm. You always heard that 50% of businesses fail in the first 5 years. You know what the number one thing that can change the odds of business failure? Well, or more important, what do you think is the primary reason? As I studied from stage one, two to high scale growth, you know what the primary reason why businesses fail?
I mean, I have some guesses, but they're probably incorrect. What is it?
Okay. Again, I'm going to put some truth out there about everybody sitting down. We don't know. We don't know. There's experience gaps.
Yeah.
Because what happens is that most of us and most business owners, as they grow from growth to another size to hyperscaling, they don't know what they don't know. And thus you have experience gaps. But the good news is that the companies who have mentorship and a guide through those experience gaps, it changes the odds of success by 70%. There is no other single factor that can change the odds. So businesses who have mentor guides, and this is why I'm excited about the profession, because Guess what? There is no other single profession on the planet that knows their clients and that will be there to guide them from the creation of their business all the way to the transaction. And not only that, but care for them in the business, but their families, their employees, their team members, and we've been purpose built to help. So in that situation, now all of a sudden, we have the abilities and the opportunity. But the one thing I always tell everybody, you don't have to do this overnight. And so what we're doing, just to get back to what we're doing, we can pull all the data in and we can tell you specifically how that business operates from a personality, you know, how they made decisions. Are they a risk taker? Are they a slow roller? But not only that, we can tell you what things that they need to do right now to get them secure, happy, and healthy in their business. So we can tell you specifically with decision intelligence, we can scan 1,000 clients and tell you exactly 40% of your clients need this, 30% need this. And not only that, map the project, how to implement it, and the value for that client. And that's the exciting thing, because the problem we don't know is that we start having client conversations and we have to keep asking because they don't know what they don't know. But now imagine having that conversation where you can come in and go, let's appreciate you as a client. Hey, I want to let you know we have these new systems that are looking forward. A couple of things I think you need to start thinking about. We're seeing there's some concerning things that you may be in financial distress in the next 18 months and not realize it. My job as a CPA is to make you aware of these things, and here are the 3 or 4 things we can do about it. And if you'd like us to help you, we can. And this is what we do and how much it costs. If anything, I just got to make you aware of it, because that's the kind of service we do at our firm.
Yeah.
And while it seems like Star Wars, it's here today.
It's all changing so fast. So for our managing partners and partners that are listening today, what would be one piece of advice you have for this new environment on closing that confidence gap, or, you know, thinking about AI and decision intelligence strategies? Like what's the one takeaway you want to leave our listeners with?
You know, don't get overwhelmed on the whole journey. It's as simple as starting the conversation with your client. You know, it's this this journey of change management. But if you simply start with one thing, which is literally having a conversation with your client, and then starting using some of the technology to have that conversation and say, it's looking forward, these are the things it's seeing. The advice I would say is that you can literally have those conversations today. You can start having with your staff members, because all you're trying to do is simply open the conversation, increase the confidence of that staff member and the seniors that they can have a conversation. They can ask questions and take notes. And guess what? The other thing too, and I hate to say this, but we've got a branding problem in the CPA profession. And if we can start, we can start getting CEOs to think of us in the guides and navigators that we've always been and not recognized. You start having those conversations with a client, all of a sudden that little bit of perception starts leaning, a little bit of, well, wait a minute. They didn't tell me what happened 3 months ago in the quarter. They started looking, leaning forward and looking and saying, hey, we're seeing this, we're seeing this, we're seeing this. And you don't have to have a huge multi-month project to get that going. You can literally do it today. And I promise you, it will surface the old-fashioned way of just getting clients to ask questions, and you'll start seeing patterns and recognitions. And so it has nothing to do with software. It has everything to do about the human connection, the human, because with all the AI in the world, I can say it's going to expedite the need for human connection and mm-hmm. human guidance. And my advocacy is that while AI is going to do a bunch of stuff, it's only going to magnify the need of that human advisor guide to walk you through and go, it's okay. I'm here with you. We're going to do this together. And I have 5 other clients who are doing the same thing. Let's work through this together. And you can just start that today, and it doesn't require a tech and a big implementation. You can do it today.
I like that. Eric, this has been a really interesting conversation. I feel like I've learned a lot, and now my brain is spinning. Just things from, that what we talked about at the beginning, that confidence gap, to those questions that we can ask the CEOs and leaders, and things that get them thinking and looking forward to now moving past AI into decision intelligence and what that means for the profession and for our roles and for what we can do. The technology is moving so exponentially quick that sometimes I feel like I'm 6 months behind, but I love having these conversations with leaders who are at the forefront of all of this change and can help us understand and navigate and move forward. For anyone who wants to learn more about Eric's work, you can find him at 4impactdata.com, and I'll put some links in the show notes.
And our heart is, just to get everybody know, we started the company with the idea of we wanted to change the odds for business owners globally. Because we knew that if we could change even a small percentage of them, because anybody that's been an entrepreneur has jumped out there and had to come home and say, we're not going to make payroll, or the business isn't going to make it, or I got to hold a paycheck back. And we just said, if we could equip and codify the experiences so that people don't have to make the same mistakes that I've made and a bunch of other entrepreneurs, it will affect communities and lives and families. And guess who is in the absolute best position to affect millions of businesses globally? It's the CPA profession. And I'm a little bit on my bandwagon because we've been underappreciated. We have been given this advice and guidance for years and didn't realize it. So my word for those out there is that I know you don't have confidence, but you're doing it. You've always been doing it. We just haven't been recognized for the amazing work and guidance we give to all our business owners. So don't give up hope that AI is going to automate our jobs. It's going to put a spotlight on the impact that we've had on so many business owners' and lives, because they need your help. They need your help because with a little bit of guidance, you may help a lot of businesses avoid laying that person off or avoid having to close a business, because now you got the time to give them the guidance that they really need and desire.
What great words of wisdom. So to our listeners, if this episode, got you thinking and considering new technology and the decision intelligence in today's world, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to Inside Public Accounting and share if you are using decision intelligence in your firm or something that you're considering. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a colleague. And don't forget to like, subscribe, leave us a comment where you listen. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can click below to subscribe and check out more from Inside Public Accounting.